This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Samantha Pelosi. Samantha, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Samantha, who are you and what do you do?
I am the Senior Vice President for Payments and Innovation of BAFT. And BAFT is the Bankers Association for Finance and Trade. We're a global organization focusing in on transaction banking. So that's primarily cross-border wholesale payments, as well as international trade.
Samantha, how are you involved with blockchain?
I was recently with the Federal Reserve Board, and I was manager for retail payments in the board's payment division, and I joined BAFT in January of 2016, and I was hired to really spearhead and drive the organization's efforts with respect to innovation, payments, and financial crime. Soon after I was onboarded at BAFT, the organization stood up an innovation council. And the council consists of banks, large global banks, important regional banks, plus large technology companies and smaller ones, startups, around the globe in various jurisdictions. And I help administer the innovation council. We meet basically once a month, and we have a number of initiatives, but all of those initiatives are currently focused on blockchain technology. So it's how can our members develop and promote and benefit from the use of blockchain technology, distributed ledger technology in transaction banking.
Samantha, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with blockchain?
I think starting with the biggest successes, I think that blockchain in at least financial services will really take off, and we'll see a lot of uptake and development in the post-settlement of securities and settlement of securities, as well as in the processing of insurance contracts of one sort or another. I think that those areas are really set up for an increase of efficiency through the promises of blockchain, including having a distributed and immutable ledger, being able to recognize some of the privacy, hold some of the information private and some of it to be more public or be presented to the community that's using the solution. I also think in my area, in transaction banking, it could be quite useful in completing and helping facilitate international trade, both traditional international trade finance plus supply chain finance, as they call it. And in the securities area, the trade finance area, and insurance, I think that's all because there are quite a number of inefficiencies and parties to any transaction. And they do tend to be very paper-based and not non-standardized transactions, that the blockchain technology could really be a great leverage point in what it has to offer and cutting out costs and inefficiencies. With the blockchain, I guess one of the biggest challenges is in one of the original use cases for Bitcoin, which is payments. The blockchain technology was created and produced a virtual currency that could be used for payments. Of course, Bitcoin completely works, but with the global commerce we have today and the dependence on fiat currency, the payment systems that are being explored really will not be able to benefit from the promise of blockchain technology if there is no fiat currency that is actually issued on the blockchain. Whether you use Bitcoin or some kind of a token or a agreed upon bank settlement coin, banks will be able to more efficiently pay each other end to end without going through costly and efficiency drag of intermediaries. However, once it gets to the endpoint of the sending bank or the ultimate receiving bank, if there's no fiat currency issued on the blockchain, then it's the blockchain system will need to interface with the real world system and require convertibility into the real world fiat currency for the further payment and settlement of transactions. And that interface, I think, will slow things down again and be quite clunky. So I think that's a place where there is quite a bit of a challenge. Also, in the financial world, and especially the transaction banking world with cross-border, large value cross-border payments that I concentrate on, I think that there are a number of companies that are working on how to onboard a new customer and how to vet them, what we call as customer due diligence and knowing your customer, gathering information about their identity and verifying that information. I think that that is only going to be useful, using the blockchain, of course, that's only going to be useful if the regulators, especially the anti-money laundering regulators, either take on some screening responsibilities of their own and take that away as a responsibility that's currently on the private sector, or if they're willing to participate in screening of transactions in the aggregate on their own and, again, take that away from being a requirement on our financial institutions. If each endpoint still needs to screen these transactions and monitor these transactions, I don't think a lot of costs will be taken out of the system and that there won't be that much more efficiency to be gained through the use of blockchain technology and identity management.
Samantha, in your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
I do think that blockchain, in theory, could replace correspondent banking as we know it today. So there, in theory, if there were a fiat currency to finally settle all transactions, all banks could get on to a blockchain payment system and send money from point A to point B without having to go through an intermediary, which is today's correspondent banking system, going through several legs of a transaction before a payment gets to its final destination. So that could, in fact, completely replace correspondent banking as we know it. I think it will really change and potentially replace the way that international trade is done today, where it will allow all parties to the international trade, the financing parties, the shippers, the receivers, the customs agents, the handlers, to all see where the shipment is in time, where the goods are in time, and be able to hand off documents digitally through the blockchain without having to depend on paper and the risks that are associated with paper. I think that will be that blockchain will be transformative for international trade. Potentially, again, in the payment side, again, the sticking point is the fiat currency, but I think it will also help with remittances and what is called de-risking. Again, in our, in my view of the world, there, and actually it has been recognized now that there's been a lot of correspondent banks that don't feel comfortable with their respondent banks or the risk that is presented by the respondent bank. And that might not be just because of the bank. The bank may be itself, the banking partner may be, you know, completely legitimate and a very good financial partner, credit partner, and, you know, a partner in fighting financial crime. However, the country they may be in may have very lax money laundering laws, regulations, lax enforcement, poor standards, and therefore the risk of the jurisdiction that that partner sits in is too high. And so there's been what they call de-risking. If this happens in an economy too often and the local banks are completely de-risked and cannot find a U.S. dollar clearing partner, the entire economy can be cut off from world trade and also remittance payments. I think blockchain can help, again, if Bitcoin or another virtual currency becomes widely accepted, or if there's a fiat currency that is issued on the blockchain. The blockchain could solve a lot of these problems, again, because there is no intermediary that would be needed to get funds from point A to point B, and thus these economies would be opened up, and there would be less risk in the system because apparently all of the regulators could, in theory, have a node on the system and view the transactions themselves and monitor those themselves.
Samantha, how will people make money with blockchain?
That is a question. So I think that they will make money from blockchain, again, in transaction banking by standing up either their own blockchain system and its own governance rules, business rules, et cetera, and selling that and maintaining the code, and selling that to other financial institutions and other participants in the financial system. Or if there's an open system, also, you know, using the open system, but again, maintaining the code, being in a way, a central party for the viability of the code and fixing any bugs and ensuring that it can be used and upgraded accordingly by the community. I think that's definitely a service that is needed and can be sold, especially the standardization or the ability to have two different Bitcoin systems interoperate. I think at the outset is going to be important. There are going to be a number of companies that are offering either private or public blockchain, public being though being scrubbed and kind of maintained and hosted in a way that's going to be a service needed to bridge those different blockchains before they all sort themselves out. It does seem that we have a number of competing consortia out there and efforts out there already. I think that also once a system is stood up that there will be fees, although they will be smaller than in traditional payment systems, a much, much smaller percentage. I think you can still make money with the volume of transactions flowing through the system. But I really do think that that maintaining of the core system and then standing these vertical platforms and vertical use cases on top of the platform and just really having added value services is going to be the way that people are making money with blockchain.
Samantha, what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
Not to be, too mystified or to be afraid to explain that you don't know how it works, because that may prevent you from really kind of understanding the technology and getting a basis in it. It's not too late to learn, and you can approach, you know, experts. They're very willing to speak to you about blockchain technology, its promises, how it works in theory. You don't have to know how encryption works at a micro level. You don't have to be a computer programmer yourself to understand how the technology works and to understand its benefits and risks. It just takes just a little bit of time, not even that much investment of time. There are some very good papers out there that can explain the basics to you. And there's a lot to be excited about. And there are a lot of applications also outside of financial services. So it's an exciting time to get involved. And it's not beyond the ken of those that think they are not tech savvy, of which I kind of include myself in that category.
No worries. Well, thanks, Samantha.
You're welcome.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.